pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason?
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Taylor.
Hi.
And JC.
Welcome to the resistance.
Yeah. We were talking about just how weird it is that people are so preoccupied with weight. Mm-hmm. And in this particular instance, and how it coincided with high school reunions. And the thing that I was looking at earlier today, you and I, Mr. Carter, have been friends on Facebook for 19 years. Did you see that post I did today?
Is that when Tina bullied us into joining because she put a photo of us on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 years ago?
Yeah, 19 years ago. And up until that point, you and I were in a popularity contest to see who could get the most friends on MySpace.
Which is trying to come back.
I'll go back to MySpace.
It wants to come back as a non-algorithm based social media page. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
But I was looking at
just still there.
All of the pictures in our memories in that post, and I'm like, you and I have lost a lot of weight in the last couple of years. We are both considerably smaller than we were in the 19 years post throughout there.
Yeah. I've ballooned up in 19 years and I've shrunk down again. So
that is the nature of a balloon.
Yep. So I am
nature of a balloon.
I'm dropping pounds. Well, I'm dropping weight. I'm dropping inches. I'm not dropping weight.
Hmm.
It's really frustrating. I seem to be stuck at 260. And it's like I'm putting on muscle because I'm weight training. But I'm not like, you know, hulking out or anything. I can see the definition showing up in my arms and stuff, but I'm not really building big massive muscle, and yet I've got clothes fitting me again that didn't fit, but I'm still stuck at 260, and I'm like, what the fuck is Is gravity just pulling me a little harder? Is that what's going on?
No, it is muscle. You're getting strong. Yes, it's muscle. It was underneath the whole time.
It's weak muscle. Well, actually, I just got to where I could do 30-pound curls. So
nice.
That's pretty cool.
I got one of these goddamn things.
Ooh.
You do it for a minute up and a minute out and a minute down. And it fucking burns.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, the guns are coming back. I got it on the TikTok shop for like $8.
Really? I need one of those. I can't.
Those Popeye arms that you got.
I can't really work out. So, like, I need something that I could still do with my arms. But, like, since my back is broken, I have to be very weary of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not broken.
That's true. Other than going to PT when I broke my neck, it was no weightlifting. It was almost 4 years before the doctor was like, if you're careful and you keep your weights low, you're fine. And it was another 2 years before it's like, yeah, you know, it's going to hurt. Just do it if you want to.
Well, I put 50 pounds on my barbell to do my first bench because I knew I had shoulder injuries. and I knew the weight would hit the shoulders as I came down.
Yeah.
And I it wasn't until last week. Now I've been doing the weight training consistently since May, since the 1st of May.
Yeah.
It wasn't until literally last week that I pulled down into the beginning of the press and felt no pain.
Nice.
And I was able to do my sets, and all of the burn was in my chest. Nothing. I wasn't fighting pain in my shoulders. It was the first time in months that had happened. So I'm like, oh, good. Maybe my weak ass bench press will finally go up now. Because I'm like, 50 pounds is pathetic, but I'm fighting two ACL tears. So, yeah.
Yeah, my shoulders are fucked up too. Both my rotator cuffs are fucked up.
I was at 5 pounds at the beginning with, like, you know, wings to do shoulder exercise. I've got it up to 10, and I think I can get it up to 15 now. That's how bad it hurt. Yeah. It's like, I'm not a weakling. It just fucking hurts, you know?
Yeah, that is the biggest problem I'm at. I've been looking for, like, an introduction to yoga course on, like, YouTube or something that I can go and do in the living room downstairs or something, because the degree to which I can bend is pathetic. You know, it's putting my shoes on is a fucking chore. 'Cause my back's fucked, my neck's fucked, my shoulders are fucked, my knees are fucked, everything. My hips are probably fucked too.
Through a Zoom call, because I could actually, I'm a certified yoga instructor, believe it or not. I could actually teach that. And I'm so out of shape that I would be beginning yoga anyway at this point.
There you
go.
Out
of yoga shape, that is. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do something. I got to worry. We're at that age. I know I can't ever retire.
Yeah.
So I probably ought to be in the best shape I can, because I'm going to work until I die.
I'd like to not die right away. That's my whole point. That's why I'm pushing the fitness right now, why I'm trying to drop the weight, because the weight is going to kill me. So it's like, I'm just going to do it. How I look is one thing. That's a bonus, that my clothes fit again, and that I can wear this shirt, for example, and it fits great, you know, for the first time. So it's like, hey, I'm really excited about that. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I just don't want to die at 63 like my father did and his father did. And I'm 4 years away from that as of Friday, so I don't want to.
No.
Yeah.
You got any big plans for your birthday?
I'm 7 years away. Yeah, I'm 7 years away from that as of my birthday. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any big plans for your big day?
No plans necessarily. Usually get dinner of some kind, or make dinner that, you know, if I want a steak, I'm going to fucking grill it myself. So, yeah.
No, I understand that. I think, because I've got one coming up next month.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is fire up the smoker and smell like a campfire all day.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like fun. That and getting high and fooling around.
That's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually. What do you want for your birthday?
That may also be part of my birthday. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I'm
fooling around.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to find some of the recreational substances I took in my 20s. But I'm old and I look like a retired cop. So what are you going to do? It is. Let's do some news, gang, shall we?
Yes.
In Honolulu, Hawaii, Jeannie Gibson, who represented the Rosie the Riveter campaign during World War II, has passed away at the age of 100.
Wow.
Yeah. That's in 1944, when she was just 18 years old, Jeannie left her Minnesota home to go to work as a welder in Seattle, helping build destroyers for the war effort. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's absolutely amazing.
She was a symbol for female empowerment. Well, she's been the symbol for female empowerment for decades now.
Yeah. You know?
The Rosie the Riveter image, saying we can do it, was, especially at that time when you weren't expect, women weren't expected to go do those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
There were women who did those jobs. It just was not expected. You had a certain, there was a certain path in your life that you were supposed to take if you were a woman, and being a riveter was not one of them. In fact, it was one of those things that caused some problems because a lot of the ladies loved going doing the work because it was a lot of fun, you know? So.
If you're good at it.
Their husbands came home from war and or the boyfriends came home from war and now they are expected to be housefrous again.
Yeah, Pacific Historic Parks wrote a press release upon her death saying that her warmth, encouragement, and enthusiasm made a lasting impression on everyone who had the privilege of meeting her. She especially loved encouraging young girls to pursue their dreams and reminding them that they could achieve whatever they set their minds to. I think that's, she's a hell of a role model, and I'm glad she lived as long as she did. So, bad Republicans. I know that when we say bad Republicans, it feels a little redundant, but some of them are a little bit worse than others. In this one, I'm speaking about Representative Max Miller, who can't seem to explain why three women who don't even know each other would lie about him being an abusive prick.
Yep.
So... Graham Platner ended his Senate campaign after women came forward accusing him of assault, sexual assault.
Yes.
Republicans jumped up and down. They patted themselves on the back. They looked at Susan Collins. They wished her well, you know, because Republicans are like that. And now you've got this douche canoe, Max Miller, who his dad, his father-in-law is... in the Senate.
Yeah.
And when asked about Miller several times, declined to comment and then finally couldn't fucking take it anymore. And is like, this guy is a danger to humanity. He's bad. I fear for my granddaughter's life whenever she's alone with him.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that he's been denying is that now, for those of you that are parents, some of us have kids that imprint on blankets or stuffed animals or fucking pacifiers. Oh, pacifiers, you know, but they imprint on it. They need it. It's one of those things. And if you take it away, it's like taking away a junkie's heroin. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this little girl, his daughter, has this little blue bunny that she loves and she has to have it to fall asleep. So Max Miller fucking took it hostage for like 3 days, and it popped up in court. You know, Max would not hand over the blue bunny. Senator Bernie Moreno, Emily's father, told a reporter in a clip saying literally held it hostage for 48 hours. Moreno said the child cried at night because she did not have the stuffed animal and described the alleged conduct as, quote, the level of total and complete depravity, end quote. Because at that point, yeah, what you're doing is obviously going to inconvenience your ex-wife, you piece of shit. Obviously. Yeah. But it's also torturing a child. You know? Which I'm against.
It's a form of abuse. It really is, you know, it's psychological abuse. I mean, no, I never would have ever thought of taking away, you know, my child's security stuff. Unless it was like, okay, it's time for you to be done with this, especially pacifier, you know.
It's creepy. It's got that, like, you can't have this unless you come sleep in my bed with me.
Ugh. Yeah.
Vibes.
Yep.
So weird.
Ugh.
It's just only in the Republican Party can you be this kind of a monster and get no pushback. No pushback at all. The fact that it took his father-in-law months to finally say something negative about him shows you what a Klan mentality they have, what a cult mentality
Republican Party. We needed his vote. Yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It is aberrant behavior. You know, was I bummed out that it turns out that Graham Platner was a piece of shit? Yeah.
It was a bummer.
It was a bummer, but guess who's not running for Senate anymore? The bummer. No pun intended. You know, and we put up with a lot of weird little snafus about him. You know, that's and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But what it really boils down to is it's like the left has a much lower tolerance for this kind of bullshit. And
always has.
And even though I'm not a Democrat anymore, they're the guys that I vote for because they're the ones that are available to vote for. And it's nice to know that we clean house as well as we do. You know, and there are more that need to go. I am sure. I am sure there are monsters in the Democratic Party, just as there are monsters in the Republican Party. But what I have noticed over the last, 35 years I've been doing this, when it comes out that a Democrat's a piece of shit, we run them off. You know, we even knee-jerk and overcorrect to the point that we ran off Al Franken for a 20-year-old photo in which the woman in the photo was like, oh, no, that was no big deal. And we're like, yeah, it was. Out you go. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Who can do that to their kid? You know, what kind of fucking sociopath are you? You're like, you know what I'll do? I'll inconvenience my wife so the kid cries and she can't sleep. Well, your kid is crying and also can't sleep, ass clown. So.
Well, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You know, the kid's saying, I need my bunny. I need my bunny. And mom's going to say, well, daddy has your bunny and won't give it back. How's that going to, you know, what's your relationship with your daughter going to be like? Cause she's going to, even if she doesn't remember it because she's tiny, it's going to imprint on her. You know?
Yeah.
The daddy wouldn't let her have the thing that soothed her. Yeah.
I don't. My kids were surrounded by stuffed animals. They fucking loved them. And my ex-wife hated them.
I hate stuffed animals.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, they make the kids happy. So kids get a stuffed animal.
I hate them. And you know what? There's a huge ass bin full of them in her room because I'm not going to throw them away.
Yeah.
No.
But one day I will.
One day you'll get it. And one day I got it. And the kids and I went through their stuff and started putting things in the charity box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the charity box that ended up in the back of my car for about 8 months until I finally tossed it. I'm just like, why am I hauling? Thank God the kids didn't collect bricks. That's all I'm saying. So I don't know if you guys remember this or not. But when Ken Martin was elected to be the DNC chair, I said, this is going to go poorly.
Mm-hmm.
They hired the wrong guy. They should have got the guy whose name I cannot remember today for reasons of math, which I'll get into later a little bit.
Was it the guy from Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yeah.
They should have gotten. Yeah.
I want to say his name is also Ken, but I know that's not right. But what we've got now with Ken Martin is chaos to the point that he's having paranoid meetings and trying to figure out which staffers are for him and which staffers are against him. Their fundraising is garbage. Their messaging is the worst that it has been in 30 years. You know, he's doing a shit job at running the show right now. And all their job is to do the DNC is to prepare the playing field for Democrats to be able to run with what has been constant, I'm going to go with progressive, but at least left-leaning messaging. Their job is to message. That's what it is. And then when the Democrats have a president, it is to further that agenda through messaging. That is their entire fucking point, you know,
talking
for congressional
points.
Candidates.
Talking points and helping with fundraising.
Not really. I mean, they should do that, but they don't do that. So you've got You've got over on the side. You've got the DCCC and the DSCC that handle congressional campaigns and handle Senate campaigns. Those guys are the ones that are helping with fundraising, though they don't do a very good job either.
Okay.
You know, and then you've got the Democratic Governors Association that's supposed to help out gubernatorial candidates, but they only pick out the ones that they like. And so it gets smaller and smaller. All Ken Martin needs to do is have a good communications bullpen that is not only putting out the messaging that needs to be there to sow the field, if you will, you know, but to raise enough money to push it out in an effective way. That's their fucking job. And he's failed to do so. And he's failed to do so because he brought in a bunch of cronies and he brought in a bunch of people that are buddies with him that, you know, aren't necessarily at the top of the game. We're a long way away from Karen Finney in the Howard Dean days.
Yeah.
Messaging was loud. Responses were fast. Everything was click, 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 click. It went well. I was a part of that group for 2 years, you know, and it was the best I have ever been taken care of on a communications job. It was wonderful. And then Obama came in and they destroyed, I mean, we've talked about this for years. They destroyed the 50-state strategy. They put it together as Obama for America. It did a great job for Obama, then failed utterly to deal with the transition from Obama to Trump. And they have been doing shitty work since 2016. It's garbage. It was Debbie Wasserman Schultz fucking around and stacking the deck for Hillary Clinton that caused everything to go mental. And now you've got intellectual lightweight Ken Martin running around in circles trying to run purity tests on employees when they're probably like, the job here is simple. Why aren't we doing it?
Mm-hmm. And that Wisconsin guy that we can't remember the name of, I remember his initiative was without saying the words 50 state strategy, that's what he was bringing in. Yeah. And I was like, that's what we need again. We need another 50-state strategy because it's obvious that we need to build this up from grassroots again. And we need to be in a position to support a progressive candidate when they come forward.
Yeah, but nobody takes the DNC sincerely more when they are congratulating them because I don't even know. I'm sick of people right now. They're like, oh, no, the DNC is support, like, going behind people. It's like, yeah, because you guys don't understand what the fuck a primary is. That's not my fault. The DNC now needs to support the winning person on the primary.
Yep. Yep. Blue no matter who. That's how I vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know what people will come and say? It's like, well, no, that person's pro-genocide. It's like, nobody's fucking pro-genocide here. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I did a deep dive on that about a month ago. And it's basically like pre-primary behavior and post-primary behavior are different things.
Yes.
You know, Ben Wickler, by the way, is the name of the.
Oh, Ben Wickler. That's right.
Yeah.
Ben Wickler.
He stopped doing that job in 2025. Devin Remicker is the new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And I know nothing about him. So he's not doing as good a job as Ben was.
Wickler recently wrote a book. And it's exactly everything that it's the strategy that needs to be handled, that needs to be adopted by the DNC, period.
Yep.
And it is basically the how we did this in Wisconsin kind of book, you know. It was the Richmond way, if you will. Yeah.
I liked that guy.
Yeah, he's great. And he didn't win because the moneyed interests didn't like how progressive he was.
Exactly. They don't like a progressive candidate because they want to be in control. The money does. And we have to get the money out of the DNC.
We'd see
even
a better
though we
chair.
Need the money to run candidates, we need the money out. We need it to be grassroots. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean it's the way that it works in comparison to one another, and we're way over time on this segment, so I'll just finish this up as quick as I can. Is yeah, the Democrats have corporate donors. They always have. But their small dollar donors are leaps and bounds beyond the small dollar of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that the Republican small dollar donors are usually giving to a Trump PAC to buy a tchotchke with his fucking picture on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to just the RNC and the DNC has a lot of grassroots donors. But the bigger donors are the ones who are calling the shots on messaging direction, you know, and support and all that. And it is, yeah. I just take a look at 2005 and just how smooth everything ran. You know, it was forward looking, forward planning and really, really worked. We even saw Democratic growth in Utah between 2005 and 2007. Democratic growth. Mm-hmm. We don't see that here. It's either status quo or we lose a seat or two.
Grassroots candidates are always the best disruptors. I mean, Sanders doesn't take corporate money. AOC doesn't take corporate money. And they're the best disruptors we have when it comes to getting people to stop just letting the billionaires run rampant over everything in our politics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see the DNC just go fully grassroots if it could.
It's, you know what? You would need somebody new. You would need an awful lot of new blood in there for that to pull off. And I don't think it's a bad idea, but in the meantime, while you're trying to rebuild the trust that grassroots Democrats used to have for you, you would still need to take corporate dollars in order to keep up. So
you would have to take responsible corporate dollars. And that way you don't lose more grassroots supporters because they would say, okay, they're taking it from it's ethically sourced kind of stuff, basically, the idea. Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. Ethically sourced corporate donations.
Yeah, ethically sourced corporate donation. Basically, corporations aren't going to control our politics, you know, to the extent that they do now. And I would love to see it. I put it on the same table of wishful thinking as I have the remove Trump from office and take away all presidential privileges so we never have to have a state funeral for the motherfucker. He can be buried on the golf course next to his ex-wife.
That's a great idea.
When he dies, I'm gonna get a flagpole to make the flag higher when he dies. I'm gonna flag just to make it like higher.
Turn my flag right side up finally.
I'll turn mine up right side up also.
All right, gang. Look, we have to take a break. So
okay. We'll
be back in a couple of minutes with, look, here's the thing.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
I don't know if anybody heard this or not, but we're changing the format to I Told You So here on the Defenestrate Media Network to be more expansive to life's everyday challenges as opposed to just listening to Tiffany and I talk about how fucking lucky we are to have found each other. Because it's not only is it probably old to listen to, but it gets a little repetitive when we go through those articles on lists of things and red flags and all that. And we're like, yeah, we don't do that. No, we don't do that either. So we're making a bit of a shift and a change there for the upcoming 50th episode of I Told You So here on theleftshow.com. And then I don't know what Braxton and I are talking about this week because this is usually when I sneak that in because we're recording later in the week. We're not doing it today like we would normally do. So neither one of us has been responsible enough to pick which IP we're going to be talking about and sharing it with each other, which I should probably message him and find out what the fuck I'm supposed to be watching. But with that said,
math is mathin'.
It's okay. You know what? Let me take 10 seconds on that. So I'm in school again. I'm going back for another bachelor's degree, because my field has evolved enough that I need to learn all the new words for shit we've been doing for 40 years, whatever. However, it's real school. So this semester is math.
Yes.
And I have said this before, and it's a fun little punchline. I'm numerically illiterate. And I look at numbers and they dance. They just move around, and I cannot focus my brain on them. And so what should be an hour or so of homework every day is turning into 3 hours of homework. I'm now getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have all my homework done by 8 so that I can get back onto my freelance bullshit and try and make some money that way. Oh my God. The fact that I got everything finished yesterday, thinking I still had another day's worth of work to do, was like, it was about 4 PM and I finished and went on to the next section, and it was like, okay, get ready for week 2. And I was like, oh, it was like coming out from underwater too long. You know, mm-hmm. I took an entire edible instead of a piece of edible and just enjoyed being stupid for a good 4 or 5 hours before I was too tired to stay awake anymore. Fuck, I hate math. But if I can muscle through, you know, I think this is the last of the annoying. I did accounting, and that was rough because the professor sucked. And math is, I did the corporate drone class. I think I bitched about that. The intrapreneur, where they told us that money and rewards weren't important. What was important was furthering the corporate cause. And I'm like, holy shit, you teach a college course on being a corporate drone. That's sad. That makes me sad for you.
That's really weird.
Yeah, she did not like me.
I know it's a generational thing, but I'm like, that's why I have a job, is to make money. I'm sorry. If I didn't need the money, I wouldn't have the fucking job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Let's do look. Here's the thing. Somewhere between the panic, the hot takes, and a Russian bot with 3 followers, there are the facts. Reality is sitting quietly in the corner, waiting for someone, anyone, to ask a follow-up question. That's what we're here for. It's time for Look. Here's the thing.
Okay, look, here's the thing. We already think that we're living in a surveillance state. And first of all, I'm gonna start this. If you're unemployed, like, there's nothing a person sounds crazier about when you're like super anti government and you're newly unemployed than starting to talk about surveillance, like state surveillance, right? There's nothing. I sound freaking crazy to explaining to my parents what flock cameras are. But they're everywhere right now. And Salt Lake City is getting them, and we've got them all over the state. We are being watched heavily by third party companies that, like, I have no repercussions. And there's people like dflot.org that, like, have the map and you can put them on and everything, and they're getting, like, they have 100 cities that outlawed them. But Utah hasn't. In fact, we are now working with Motorola for their system, which is huge. And so they're popping up all over Salt Lake because Mendenhall is, I'm pretty sure she's super in on this financially. But these cameras, like, they'll track your license plate. They'll track who's with you in the car. They're tracking which way you go. They say it's for the cops. But you know what? I have it on good authority that the cops actually don't know how to use any of this information yet. They're just already starting to record it. Like, I already know that from employees that are building a training for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just everywhere. And, you know, there's one by my house, and I've been watched. Like, I watched it, and I saw it, and then a few days later, I went to it again, and they put a Salt Lake City sticker on it, Salt Lake Police sticker on it.
I'm looking at the map right now from dflock.org, and Utah is crawling with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so gross.
It is super gross. And there's some that are just on a black pole, right? There's this, if it's a solar panel, there's a camera usually under it right there. And they're easy yep. to destroy, right? If you destroy the solar panel, chances are of them replacing that whole thing is just, it costs more to replace than it's worth. But there's this pole, they're just sticking them places. They're not cemented in. They're just digging up a hole in the grass and sticking them in. And if you watch videos, you can easily saw any of these down.
I saw a meme that pointed out that a flock camera assembly has up to 3 pounds of copper and 4 to 6 ounces of gold.
Yeah,
I think the gold is wrong.
I think that the copper, they're just the plain black pipe things. They don't have anything. They're literally just a pole that they stuck on.
No,
there.
In the camera.
In the camera?
Yeah, you melt them down and pull the elements.
Might as well try.
I mean, it's a lot easier to get to take the flock camera to get the gold or whatever is in it than it is to get a catalytic converter out from underneath a Prius or something. So
Yeah.
There or panning.
That you can like get laser green lights. That's not true. Just so y'all know, don't get by a little laser green light and flash it in. It doesn't do anything unless it's like one of those $600 lasers. But
you'd have to, and you also have to hit the lens and keep it on the lens, and that mm-hmm. lens is moving all the time. So as soon as the lens moves away, the laser isn't affecting it anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't do it. I get the shakes.
Yeah.
I just. Go to like if people just go and look around their city and keep track of them and post them up there, there are people that will be vigilantes and take them down. But also like go to your town halls, and I know this is stupid, but like go to your town halls, learn who they are, ask, find out the license plates of the people that run the town halls, find out your city council members' license plates and where they go, and ask them at that town hall if they really enjoyed you telling them where they have been with their license plate number. And how they feel about their own surveillance happening.
Great.
I don't know. I'm just really skeeved out. There's so many different types of flock cams. Utah's getting super in on it because why wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Hand,
we're
if
already
West
garbage.
Use their flock cameras to get the e-bikes off the sidewalks. I would be very happy.
Oh my god! There's bicycle lanes, but.
I literally point to the lane next to me and go, you have a fucking lane. Two guys who have almost hit me on my walk, on my daily walk, coming up behind me. Yeah, on their e-bikes. And I'm like, you have a lane right there.
Mm-hmm. You know, the surveillance isn't like, they always claim surveillance is for safety, but there have been like already, like for a sales pitch, these people, flock safety, they used flock video from a girl's gymnastics class and schools. It's like those are the two you chose, but it makes sense because they're like people that run this shit and that would approve this shit are usually involved with the PDFs. So
yeah, and it's there was also a story that I just saw about a lady cop who was using the flock camera system in her town to stalk her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. They can. And yep. All this data, we buy it from them, and they can still sell it to third-party people. We don't, like, the city doesn't own it. We have to buy it from them, like all the data from them to see it.
The flock camera data is being used by ICE.
Yes, it is being used
track,
by
ICE. To track what people they consider that they are watching for, you know, as illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is a big problem.
It's Big Brother just honing in on you. I went to a thing this week where it was some random libertarian guy that was doing a state tours to talk about it, and everybody there was exactly what I thought they would look like, and mm-hmm. they all stepped out of Waco or something, like
yeah,
all of the Bundy,
the Ammon Bundy gang.
Yeah, I'm just like, dang. And again, nobody, I look so crazy talking about this to people because I'm now on that side.
Well, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you afraid of?
Which is crazy. It's like, well, what are you looking for? What? Nobody's ever telling us my license plate. Then they're going to start connecting it to your Bluetooth.
What am I afraid of? There's a story about a woman who, when they did the license plate thing, they busted her. They grabbed her and like had her and her family on the ground because her van was allegedly stolen. Then they found out the license plate wasn't for her vehicle. It was for a motorcycle in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the kind of shit that can happen. And it's like, what am I afraid of if I'm doing nothing wrong? You doing something wrong because of mistaken identity. You know? It's just like
with AI. It's like, this is not a perfect thing and you all are taking it as a perfect thing.
Exactly.
And yeah. It's literally just ruining lives instead.
And as soon as you hook it up to AI, it's going to be even worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever you hook it up to AI, it makes it worse.
We've made so many movies about why this is bad and we just keep doing the bad things.
Go to deflock.org and look at the camera types. Start adding them yourself or just keeping track of them. But go there and see what kind of camera types there are. There are still more coming out. Axon has a big deal that they're going to start putting them on streetlights.
Great.
So people should go and be more aware and look at that website to learn some more about what you can do. And
That's my
look, here's the thing this week.
Thank you. I also have a look, here's the thing this week. So look, here's the thing. Apparently, there are men now threatening to join the WNBA, blatantly proving that women were right to choose the bear. Also, fuck a bunch of Sophie fucking Cunningham. So before anybody gets confused, it's not the setup to a joke about the NBA finally discovering women's basketball. Former NBA players Enos Kanter Freedom and Royce White have recently announced that they intend to declare for the WNBA draft, arguing that if the league is going to allow players to identify as women, then apparently they should be allowed to play too. Right? So what it is it sounds like these guys are making a statement on transgender women, but they're not. Because the part that keeps getting lost in all of the outrage is there are no openly transgender women playing in the WNBA. None. None at all. So when somebody says we have to protect women's basketball from biological men, the obvious question is, from who? It's actual men.
Yeah.
You know? So is anybody playing in the WNBA right now who wasn't assigned female at birth? No. There's nobody. There's not a trans player dominating the league. There's not a trans player taking somebody's roster spot. There's no trans player destroying the competitive balance of the WNBA. The WNBA is discussing transgender eligibility policy because the issue has become politically and publicly controversial. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has said that the league is considering the issue and the league has scheduled discussions with team executives and players, but that's a discussion about what might happen. It isn't a response to an actual transgender woman currently playing in the league. And that's why dipshit declarations from men like, you know, Kanter Freedom and White are so revolting, is they're not actually trying to join the NBA. They're trying to make a political point. And they're essentially saying, if you have a rule that we believe could theoretically allow us to play, well, we're going to test out that rule. We're going to find your loophole. That's a protest. You know, it isn't, there's not a massive wave of transgender people invading professional sports. There's just not. Right? So two former NBA players deliberately inserting themselves into a controversy over a policy that hasn't resulted in a single openly transgender woman playing in the WNBA. And that's not the only irony. There are men who have spent professional careers playing men's basketball at the highest level in the world. They know exactly how enormous the physical differences can be between elite women and men's basketball. So the idea that they're suddenly seriously preparing to walk onto a WNBA locker room and compete against professional women, it's impossible to take seriously. They're trolling a policy. They're trying to expose what they believe is an inconsistency, and it's not, because right now the WNBA isn't dealing with any of this. It's dealing with a political controversy about a hypothetical future eligibility question. Huge difference in those things. So, you know, if you've got to be an asshole, be realistic about it. You know, if you've got to be an asshole, try and stay grounded. Talk about the rules if you want to. All we know is that arrest after arrest after arrest that we're seeing right now, especially with grooming of young people, is white Republican men.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely white Republican men. And if the people making the loudest noise about this are men who have never actually been WNBA players, who haven't fucking transitioned and gone through the pain and the loss and sometimes the joy and the beauty of transition, you know, maybe the story isn't about trans women after all. Maybe it's about who gets control of the fucking conversation.
Yep. That's really what it is.
Yeah, it's just disgusting, misogynistic, anti-trans behavior from people who have never been impacted by a trans person in their life.
Who have probably never even seen a trans person in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that takes us to... Again, over. So we're going to take a little break. We get back on the other side. More news. Hey, folks. Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic. It's not about the software. And it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
For some reason, you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Everything from this point to the end is Trump news. I'm sorry. I usually put that at the beginning of the show, but I wanted to talk about the Rosie the Riveter lady. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to dunk on Max Miller because what a garbage human he is.
Yep.
You know, and then make fun of Ken Martin. Just, you know. I know we can't all be Dr. Dean, Dr. Governor Dean, but that guy ran a great ship. Karen Finney was the best communications director the DNC has ever seen, and they would do well to try and maybe farm through some old ideas. What is it, to quote Dr. Dean? Yeah! That was my ringtone for the longest time. Especially when I was doing a lot of Democratic work. It's every time I got a phone call, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's like, that's not very nice. I'm like, I don't care. That should never. It's apparently, yeah, you can rape children and still be eligible for office. But, yeah. You know, back when we were paying attention, you make one funny sound bite, you're done.
Yep.
You know, he got over enthusiastic on a microphone at a rally which had there been no TV cameras there, would have come over as a huge boost in energy for the room. But because television cameras caught him being noisy, it made him look ridiculous, which I think is pathetic. Because I've been to these rallies in several states, and you know what? You get kind of you're playing to the room. You're not playing to the nation. You know, and it's easy to remember that when you're running for president, you're playing to the for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude is. He was enthusiastic after naming a whole bunch of states in like alphabetical order or something. It was a very exciting moment. So, I don't know. Trump is signing executive orders targeting birthright citizenship and, quote, birth tourism, end quote. The Supreme Court's recent decision to uphold the 14th Amendment has apparently given Trump permission to make some changes with executive orders, which in this case are unconstitutional and therefore unenforceable. But when you have toadies and yes men and yes women and other gross creatures working for you, it doesn't matter that it's unconstitutional. They're going to go ahead and do it anyway and hope that they can fuck up elections enough that they don't have to suffer the consequences of violating the law. But if you were born on American soil, you are an American. That's how we do this. That's how it is in the Constitution. It always has been. You know, for 250 short years, if you're born here, you're from here. You're family, kid. You know? So Trump used the signing as an opportunity to rehash several of his concerns, Stephen Miller's concerns, about birth tourism. Apparently, according to Republicans, people fly here late in pregnancy and have their kids here and then fly right home so that their kids can be American. Okay. I believe
we have one major documentation of that actually happening. And that was that soccer player's mom was here. They would not let her fly because she was about to pop and they didn't want her to give birth on the plane. And so she wasn't allowed to fly, had the baby here in this country because she couldn't go home.
Yeah.
And then that automatically made him a U.S. citizen. And then she went back home to the U.K. And he never went back to the U.S. until it was to play for the U.S. men's national team. And then Trump intervened to try to get his red card, to get his red card turned over. And I'm like, here's exactly the guy Stephen Miller says is taking away everything from us. And you've just given him, because he's good at a sport, you gave him,
preferential treatment
to get him back in the game.
Yeah.
Which fucked up the energy and caused the team to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Balogun, by the way, is who you're talking about.
Balogun, that's right, Balogun.
Yeah. Showed up over here and scored a bunch of soccer goals.
That's the only one I've heard of ever.
Fair.
Oh, maybe Bruce Lee's parents, because apparently they were here. She gave birth to him here, and then they flew back to China shortly after that. But that's because his dad was doing a tour of the country at the time. So.
Well, and that's the thing with Balogun's parents is it's like she didn't do it with birth tourism. She did it because the airline wouldn't let her fly.
Exactly.
It wasn't on purpose. She was trying to get home so that he could play for England.
What do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
At some point, you're not allowed to, fly when you're pregnant. And personally, the last place that I would want to be, fly to for my kid to, to give birth is America, where we do not have good health insurance or, health care. This is the last place I would want to have my kid. It's the last place I would fly to have a kid.
Well, you're going
to
go into debt having a kid here.
You're just going to go in debt. It's like I'm born here, born with debt.
Fine. Especially if you're from a country that has, national health insurance like the UK.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, your health insurance doesn't translate here. So here's your $60,000 bill for having a baby in our country.
Yeah. Exactly. That just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. We are a country that charges up to $3,000 for a nurse to hand you your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, it's nuts. Okay, I have to address, let's not say elephant in the room, but the adorable doggy you're talking to. Hi, Zacuba Steve. So cute. I've only seen pictures. This is my first time I've seen him moving around.
He's chilling, huh?
He's a cute puppy. How's he fitting in? Is it all working out?
Yeah, he's doing good. He's at home now. It feels like homely. He's taking up the spots where he wants.
I love it.
That's good.
Because that's it. It's the 3-3-3.
Yep.
Takes him 3 days to decompress, 3 weeks to feel at home, and 3 months to just be everything they're going to be. And this dog looks happy and cared for.
He is already super well. I can't wait till Della comes home tomorrow. Because we picked him up together, but like I was kind of happy that she left so he could decompress a little bit and not with her like grabbing his head and be like, Scuba Steve! Stuff.
I love it. I love it. What a cute boy.
He's a cutie. He's 6 years old. He's a spaniel cocker mix. Something else. But I like him. He's small. I like small. You guys should see his little whirly tail.
Well, congratulations on where did the name Scuba Steve come from? Because it looks like he's wearing a little mask.
I have no idea. They just had it on his forms with Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve?
It was Scooby. Apparently it went from Scooby to Scuba Steve to Stevie. I like Scuba Steve.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Good boy. Cute dog.
He is really cute. That's my dog. Anyway, thanks for introducing.
Oh, no, I'm glad. I wanted to see the dog.
Get on the thing.
I do that. I teach a class once a month on problematic behavior. I really don't want to go into it much deeper than that, but I will stop in the middle of a slide if somebody's animal wanders in front of their screen because it's on Zoom, and I'm like, hey buddy, what's your dog's name? Gotta introduce your pets. We said that at the start of the class. So some of President Trump's most loyal supporters say he hasn't delivered on at least one of his biggest campaign promises, and they're hurting because of it. Trump won the 2024 election, in part, by vowing to reduce prices and reverse the inflation that struck after COVID-19.
Yep.
I just went to the supermarket, and I have to tell you that my very, very small budget covers very, very little. You know? Yep. And we talked about it earlier in the show when we were talking about how weird it is that people obsess about weight. But as a diabetic, you know, I have to worry about my A1C and my blood glucose levels, but I can't afford the foods that are going to make me healthy.
No.
Because I have like maybe 150 to 200 bucks to feed three people for a month. You know, we're buying some processed bullshit. It's just how it is. I meat's going for like $7.99, $8.99 a pound right now. You know, it's insane. Chicken thighs, which used to be the bargain basement of the poultry world, you know, are now $6.99 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I like them better, but still, breast meat from time to time.
Yeah. Even Costco, the prices are up, or there's shrinkflation in their product, you know, so they don't have to raise the prices. But yeah, I have real insurance finally for the first time in 12 years. You know, what I call real insurance, where basically everything is covered and you're not suddenly eating a deductible, you know. So one of the things my doctor did was put me with a dietitian. And man, she's got me eating fresh vegetables and protein all the time. That gets expensive after a while.
Yep.
Because you want the lean protein and shit. Yeah. It's like, fuck, this is expensive. It's expensive to eat healthy. And meanwhile, you've got a guy running the Health and Human Services who's like, you need to eat healthier like I do. I'm like, I am not eating the shit you eat, dude.
A raccoon? He's telling us to eat a raccoon?
Yeah. I'm not going to eat that shit, but I will. I would love to eat healthier if you would fucking enable it to happen.
Yeah.
Have your boss lower prices like he promised.
And that was the Norway football team coming out for the World Cup brought almost 6,000 pounds of their own food because they knew getting good food here is difficult. Now, that's that doesn't stop the players from going to chain restaurants and eating dipshit, but they didn't have to, you know? An entire goddamn soccer team brought their own goddamn chow.
Oh, their supporters suddenly discovered ranch dressing, which is very unhealthy for you, but man, did they fall in love with it.
I can't stand ranch.
Yeah. It was really good. I don't, you know, when you base your whole platform off of food prices, like what you, weird that the rest of everything else in the world will affect that.
Yep.
Well, the fact is he had no clue on how to do it or how to make it happen. He thought he could make one phone call, do negotiation, it would be over, if he even thought he could do it. He just promised shit that he knew would get him votes, and it worked.
Yeah. And now Republicans are paying the price because nobody that is a Republican, like anybody he backs, loses.
One of the...
Did we talk about that one guy? Are we? The one, the black guy that Trump backed, lost to a guy that dropped out.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that on the Daily Show.
I loved that moment.
He's only had like two or three that I've counted so far that in the primaries that have actually come through.
The only one reason Massey lost is because they spent the most money they have ever spent in history on a primary to go against him.
There's always the risk of you blow all your money on a primary. How are you going to face your opponent? You know,
honestly.
All right, I'm moving forward.
Okay.
We were going to talk about the fact that Trump has been buying companies and making money off their purchase, but it's way too minutia for us to finish in the next 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll carry that over to next week. The last thing we're going to finish on is, what'd you guys think of Trump's new wig? I mean, nothing subtle, not even to transition wigs to get him to this place. He just went from being able to see through his hair onto his head to a full lush, several degrees of Pantone away from what his hair was just last week.
Yep.
He's got that blonde summer glow.
He's just... I mean, it's obvious it's a rug now at this point. the comb over stopped working, so they've given him, what do they call it? A hair. I can't remember what they call it when it's a partial rug.
Hair. Like, oh, I just watched someone do his own.
Yeah.
I don't remember. What is it? Yeah.
Well, it looks ridiculous.
I wonder
if... The kind that you can just put on here to cover up the back bald spot. They do those all the time. And they call them hair solution or something like that. And it's not a full toupee because a toupee covers, you know, basically where my hat is, was where a toupee would cover.
I don't know.
If it's not a toupee, it's one of those hair things that he's done. Yeah.
I think it's a full fucking wig.
This guy calls it a hair system.
There it is. Hair system. Yes. Hair system.
Like someone.
Trump has a new hair system.
I just don't, and he probably doesn't even do it very well. It'll probably fall off in a big gust of wind because he probably is like, I'm not going to wait for that tape to settle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not going to let the glue set. No.
No. So, but what we're going to do now is we're going to run over to Patreon and continue this conversation. Patreon.com/DFenMedia, DEFEN Media. Every week that we record, we put special content as we continue the show over on Patreon for our Patreon family. It's a low-cost way to get a lot of different kinds of entertainment because not only do you get the Left Show's Patreon over there, you get the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast Patreon, you get the I Told You So Patreon, and the Gen Zex Patreon, which is always a fucking delight. if you like those sort of things. So join us, won't you, over on patreon.com/dfenmedia. And in the meantime, as I race down here for the last 20 seconds, thank you, Taylor. Thank you, JC.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome, America.
We will see you all next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. patreon.com/dfenmedia. This episode and more, always available at www.theleftshow.com.